Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, the host of the program today, and guess who's in the house?
The house.
The house is in the house. Dennis House is here. I'm so happy to see you.
Great to be here and awesome to see you, Ann. We go way, way back.
Way back. I mean, I don't even want to talk about the number of years that we go back. But thanks for stopping by, Dennis, because we've got so much to talk about. And I've got this wish list of people I want to get on the show. And you're at the top of the list. So I know you're a busy guy.
Well, I'm honored to be here. As I said, you and I go way back. It's interesting, too, because we don't want to really talk about how long it is. But yeah, for me, it's been 30 years. So about the same for you. And I was talking to our interns the other night. They were all born in like 2002, 2003. And it's like, wow.
I know. Time flies.
Doesn't it?
And you're still doing what you're doing, and you're doing great. We should mention, of course, everybody already knows, but you are the chief political anchor for WTNH Channel 8 in New Haven, just off of a debate with more debates to come. How did that go earlier this week?
I enjoy doing debates. I've been doing it for quite some time, and this was a lot of fun. We interviewed the three Republicans running for the opportunity to challenge Richard Blumenthal in the fall, in November, and there's a primary coming up on August 9th. A lot of people don't even know that because they're on vacation. It's the summertime.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that's how they do it in Connecticut. So August 9th is the primary. So the winner will then be able to take on Blumenthal. So we interviewed them as Claritas, Leora Levy, and Peter Lumash.
Yeah, I got to see a little bit, and I saw a lot of the promos. So, yeah, that's always fun. It's a tough situation. You know, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, you almost have to be a little bit of a performer or an actor to really get out in the race. I know I've worked with some candidates in the past that just didn't have the personality and weren't good debaters. And that's how a lot of people, you know, decide who they're going to vote for, who performed the best.
Yeah, I have found going back in all the years of covering candidates, Anne, that I think the most that the key thing is likability.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to be likable to the voters.
Right.
And if you're not, look back. You know, 2004 was a great example. They had that poll, like, who would you rather have a beer with, John Kerry or George W. Bush? And George W. Bush won hands down. And a lot of people didn't like the way Kerry came across, but it's about likability.
Yeah, it is. It's all a popularity contest, kind of like television news, right?
A little bit. Well, you need to be authentic. You need to be accurate. Real. And
that you are,
relate.
My friend. I got to tell you, you're very approachable. There are some people that just aren't. That's what's made you so popular and such a, you know, staple in Connecticut news for so long. We all know you worked at another place.
I did.
I mean, how do you want to talk about that? Because I want to talk about where you're at now and how great you're doing. But, you know, let's address the elephant in the room, shall we?
So August 31st, I will be celebrating 30 years serving the people of Connecticut.
Yay!
As a journalist here in our state. Yeah, I started here August 31st, 1992, came in from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it was, I feel very blessed, Dan, because I got to work with some great people. I covered some amazing historical events over time, mm-hmm. from popes to World Series to 9/11 to hurricanes and blizzards and all sorts of little stories in between. I got to travel all over our great state and beyond. And then on my 28th anniversary, I got called in and they told me that I was done. They were making some changes. The company needed to make some changes and I was out. So, but within an hour of the news breaking, I got some texts. I kind of knew that I'd be working in television if I wanted. And I also had some other opportunities outside the industry.
I know you did.
So I thought about it for a while. Mm-hmm. I thought about maybe doing something else. I was asked to run for office. You know, all sorts of fun things.
Right.
But, you know, from sports to you know, companies. In the end, I knew our general manager, Rich Graziano at WTNH, great guy for a while. I had almost worked for him once before, and so I decided to work for him, and we have a great team there.
It's so
experienced.
It's
That's
wonderful. I got to tell you, and they're just the best dressed all around.
Oh, thank you.
But I want to go back to that. You know, I remember it's like a punch in the gut, right? Did you expect that call into the office?
Not at all.
You were shocked.
Not at all.
And how awkward is that, though, when, you know, you've been there so long, you know, I'm sure it wasn't about the ratings, and yet your wife still works there. That's got to be a little weird.
Well, on a personal level, it was difficult because that had been really the worst year of my life. 8 months earlier, Denise DeCenzo had died suddenly, my longtime co-anchor. And so that was difficult. And then I had to announce to the viewers on television that night.
And you were close.
We were like brother and sister. We were co-anchors for a quarter century. That was tough. And then having to deal with the funeral, the public memorial a month later, helping her family during all this, mm-hmm. creating a foundation. There were a lot of young employees, young coworkers that really couldn't understand the death and were having a tough time. So I was counseling them. My dad had had a stroke, and his health was in decline during that whole period. And then COVID came along, right? Oh. So that was difficult. Our lives were changed. I had my kids at home mm-hmm. during the day before I'd go to work. And then we were asked to take furloughs at work, pay cuts, which we did. And then all of a sudden they called me and said, you're out. So that was a little difficult. But
the good news is everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a
reason.
And
that's what I'm getting to, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. You know, I know when they demoted me and then I had a severance package and I said, great, demote me. I took the severance package, started my business and have never looked back.
Yeah.
So like you ended up in a better place. And I tell people all the time that are stuck on that rat wheel, you know, sometimes somebody else stops the wheel for you and it's the best thing that ever happened. Because look at you now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love being a Channel 8. I love the people I work with. I love the experience all around me.
Mm-hmm.
I love the historical references that sort of... You know, like when the Leave It to Beaver guy.
Did he die or didn't
Tony Dow. Well, they announced he had died. And then they came out. They said he wasn't dead.
I know.
But most of the younger people didn't know who he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, Ann Nyberg and other people in the newsroom of my generation and they're, you know, close by all knew who he was and why that was important mm-hmm. and why that was significant.
Absolutely. Well, and you're doing so well. You were just voted Connecticut Magazine's best news anchor. Congratulations.
That was a great honor. That was a great honor.
Why?
And, well, I was just... Because, you know, when you lose your job, you feel down no matter how optimistic you are about what is next. But, you know, it's a huge punch to the gut. And that was really tough. And so to get that after being, you know, it was less than 2 years ago I got fired. So to have that honor, and I know other great people have had it years past, Ann Nyberg won last year. And so to get that was really a great honor.
And well-deserved. And that's the thing. I mean, you've picked yourself back up. You didn't skip a beat. But it does hurt. It does. It's just something. I remember when I was finally done with Channel 30, I laid in bed and cried for a day. And my son, who was in high school, said, this isn't you. Get your ass up and go do what you do best. Absolutely. That's what happens. That's what you do.
Yeah. One of my friends who also did a career reinvention after a while was saying to me last week, he said, you know, I'm glad you said that you were fired, because so many people think that maybe you left because of a contract dispute
mm-hmm.
or that, you know, I also got too that it was emotionally too difficult to work after Denise had, you know, gone. I got all these reasons why I left and, you know, none of which were true. So
you're out there. You're honest.
Yeah. Hey, that's what happened.
That's what you
learned. I'm not embarrassed by it.
Nope.
And that's the way it is.
And it happens to a lot of people and it just builds up better and better and better.
Yeah.
So let's talk also a little bit about, you just had a nice lunch date a couple weeks ago. You got to see your buddy.
I did. I saw my buddy Gail King, and she was in... Well, she picked the place for lunch, right?
Okay.
I was going to meet her in New York. We've been trying to do this for a while because of COVID. It was difficult. So, you know, we've been back and forth texting and things like that. And last time I had seen her was at Denise's memorial.
Oh.
So it had been a while. And then COVID came, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had COVID. I had COVID at one point. We were quarantining for jobs and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
So we finally got together and she wanted to go to Louie's Lunch, the birth of the hamburger.
Absolutely.
In New Haven. And we got there. And I tell you, Gail is extremely down to earth. She's what you see is what you get. And so when we got there, I shouldn't say this, but, you know, the owner did say, you know, you don't have to wait. You know, I can help you out a little bit. And we're like, no, we're not. We're definitely not doing that. We will wait with everybody else. And that's what we did. So,
really?
Yeah, so we waited 45 minutes for burgers because that place is crazy busy, as you
know.
It's a big tourist attraction. And
so they recognized you guys right away?
Sure. Yes. Yes, they did. And, you know, we're very blessed that, you know, that people do watch us on television. That we've been around for a long time. And I'll tell you, you know, Gail is... You know, we'll proudly admit she's 68 years old and she still loves this business. She still loves news. I still love news. We're still in this because we love it,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the important thing, because once you lose interest in your job, once you no longer like it, it might be time to do something else.
Yeah.
Life is short.
It is short. And or once you walk in that building and that smell makes you sick to your stomach because you're back at work. I mean, it's, and you know, and Gail's such a pro. I can't believe she's that age.
That's what, well, I mean, she's quite open about it.
Wow.
Quite open about it.
And she looks fantastic.
She looks fantastic, and she's just the same old Gail. You know, a lot of people came up and wanted pictures with her. She posed with every single person. She's super nice, and she's interested in people.
Mm-hmm.
Interested in people. We met this guy who came up to us, and he was an FBI not an agent, but he works with child trafficking. It was a fascinating story, right? So we asked how to get in contact with him. He goes, give me your business card and I'll be back in touch. So I airdropped him a business card, but he never got back in touch. So we're waiting for that guy. So if you're out there listening, please call us.
Wow. What an opportunity to meet two of the top journalists, one, you know, covering national news, and you don't follow up.
Yeah. And he was in line in the, line. But, you know,
things happen. You never know.
Things happen. And, you know, it wasn't airdropped to him. It was airdropped to his son because he was with his son. And he goes, I don't know how to airdrop, but the son did it. And so he goes, I'll give it to your dad. But who knows? Maybe they just felt they were, you know, in from California, you know, worried about other things. We met this family from Texas in for a wedding. We met a realtor. So we met a ton of people in line at Louis Lunch. It was amazing.
What a great experience. And see, if you would have cut the line, like they gave you the opportunity to, you never would have met those people.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
But there are those people that, like, do you know who I am? And you guys didn't pull that one, right? You were in there as regular people. You got it done. You got to have a nice lunch with Gail. How wonderful is that?
I put on my shoes one shoe at a time like anybody else. Yep. And we see each other as, you know, we're just normal people.
How long did you guys work together?
We worked together for, I want to say, when I started there, 92, and she left in 99. We were co-anchors for 5 years. We did the 5:30 news every day. So it was great. And we had an amazing time. And she then did a show out of
Hartford,
the adjacent building to our station, the Gil King Show. And that lasted about a year. I think that went from 97 to 98. And then she worked another year beyond that. And then she went to work for the Oprah magazine.
Right.
And then she was doing some radio shows. And she's been at CBS This Morning now, which is now called CBS Mornings, for about 10 years.
Wow. She got a boyfriend? Come on.
I'm not going to ever comment on people's personal lives. Okay, that's for them to talk about.
Okay.
She's open about her life on television. Okay. I will tell you that.
All right. Well, we'll leave that at that. But you know what? I had to ask.
Of course.
It's the former reporter in me.
Of course.
How many Emmys do you have on your shelf?
We have 4 Emmys in our house, and 2 of them are my wife's and 2 are mine.
Kara Sundlin.
So we don't have, she had more than me, and now we are tied.
You're tied?
We're tied, yes.
Wow. Did you get one this year? I forget.
I got one last year.
Last year for?
For Fotis Dulo's coverage, live breaking news coverage.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, that was a tough day, the day he tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. You just never know. So, so what's next? I mean, your politics is still kind of your forte.
Yeah, so I do the 6
But you switch it up. It's not just politics in your show. It's a little bit of everything, and I love it.
So those Sunday morning political shows are, it's an oversaturated genre in many ways. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of them in our state. And you know, I did Face the State for many years. I loved it, and it was mostly politics. But, you know, I wanted to do a few different things with this new show, and so did my boss, Chuck Carter. So we talked about some new ideas, you know, business stories. So I just visited Otis Oliver last week, and we went to the test elevator, and we interviewed the chief engineer there for the company, who daughter of Indian immigrants. It's amazing too how many more women are in engineering than there used to be.
Right.
Because last year I interviewed Raquel Rivera at Pratt & Whitney, and she's in charge of all the plants in North America, and it's just changing. You know, when you started in journalism, there weren't that many women in business positions, and it's changing now, and that's a good thing. And so she talked about that. It's 30% at Otis Elevator. So we get to, I've interviewed people who've had health issues. I interviewed a police officer from West Hartford who was dying of a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And he ended up dying 6 weeks after our story. So we try to bring stories that matter, some different ones. We do mix some politics in there, particularly as we get closer to an election. But the show this week in Connecticut, we try to make it a few different things.
Yeah, I know. I actually suggested one of my clients, Jordan Oakes.
Yeah, we can do something on him.
Yep. And so you're going to be doing something on him because he's a Nashville recording star, young guy.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
22 years old. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I got to say, getting him to play at some of the casinos and big venues in Connecticut's been like pulling teeth. But yet he's all over the place in southern Florida and Nashville. So if you hear that, call me.
No, we're excited about doing that story. So that's the thing, you know. Connecticut has so many stories to tell. Many of them have already been told, but we try to look for new ones. And that's the thing. And Gail's the same way. As we were in line at Louis Lunch, I realized, we're talking to these random people.
Mm-hmm.
We met some really cool people, and they all have different stories. We met a young teenager from, I think he was from California, who was at Yale because he's being recruited by both Yale and Harvard for football.
Wow.
Just an interesting, you just never know who you're going
to
meet.
Unless
right?
you talk to somebody you don't know their story, and it's usually so cool.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your new crew and what's going on down at WTNH Channel 8. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dennis House, chief political anchor for WTNH, and a good longtime friend who was willing to come by and do the show with me this morning. And I'm so, so grateful for that. You know, we've both gone through so many different things in life. You know, you know my past. And, but it's funny because people say, you know, they even ask me, like, as if I'm still in these TV, you know, whatever happened to this one or whatever happened to that one or how come this happened? And, you know, it's good that you clear that slate and you just put it out there because what people do is gossip, right?
Yeah.
And I know they gossiped about me. I mean, even when I was interviewed by Ann Nyberg about my recovery, I think she asked me during the interview, she said, so were you drinking on the air? And I was like, no, that's one thing I didn't do. But, you know, I got to say, it's been almost 13 years now, Dennis, that I've been sober.
Good for you. And I'll tell you, so I remember that interview with Ann Nyberg. Mm. And Ann and I talked about it not all that long ago and just how it was very helpful to people. Because when people see others who are struggling talk about it like you did, that was really helpful. I'm sure you helped people you don't even know.
Well, I hope so. And that was one of my goals because it's a big decision to go public with something like that because you just never know. And, you know, the haters are still going to hate. So you can't worry about that. So that has been my goal. But you also, when you come out with that, you got to make a strategic decision. And it's interesting. I thought maybe I'd lose a lot of my clients because they go, ooh, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
But actually, the clients came running to me because they said, you know, I respect what you've done, Ann, or I'm in recovery too, and I'd like to work with you. So it's just been nothing but a plus in my life. You know, everything works out and everything happens for a reason. We always say that all the time.
So my mentor, when I was an intern at WPRI in Providence, I was mentored by the weekend anchor at the time, Ted Wayman, who was great. And he taught me how to report and how to do this, how to hold the mic and how to write and all this stuff. He's now at WCVB in Boston. He recently went public with his battle against addiction with alcohol. And after all these years, he talked about it and he had been sober. I forget how many years, but just it's you know, significant. And he's on the air right now and he did it. And bravo to him for, you know, having the courage to do that.
That's right. Absolutely. So you say you let people talk about their own personal life. So let's talk a little bit about your personal life.
Sure.
Kara Sundlin still doing a great job over at Channel 3.
Yep.
Better Connecticut is running strong. Yep. She looks great.
She's doing great. And, you know, obviously it was quite an adjustment when I got fired from the place. It was such a big part of our lives where we met. But it all worked out, and she's doing a great job over there. We're raising two kids, and you know, we split up a lot of the tasks, which you kind of have to. It's interesting. I was talking about this just yesterday in the newsroom. Someone was saying that they really hate doing laundry, and in our house, so we have an old house, and the laundry's in the basement. Mm. So I usually bring it down and put it in, and wash it and take it out and then bring it up. And Kara's in charge of the folding and the putting away, which that to
wait,
me is
but
the
you at least
part.
Put it in the dryer, right?
Yeah, the yes.
Okay, because see, at my house, it never makes it to the dryer. So good. I'm glad you're making it to the
dryer. I do the downstairs stuff, and then I bring it up, and she, you know, because they're heavy. She prefers to fold it and put it away, which I really don't like.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, is the hardest thing.
Okay. Now, you said you have kids. Come on, they're not kids anymore.
No,
I mean, they're kids, but they're not kids. They're just great. I mean, what are they up to?
They're 15 and almost 13. My son turns 13. On September 1st, my daughter's 15, and my daughter has her first job. She's working in a little store, a little clothing store, helping people out. So she likes that. She was doing some babysitting. They're very active people. My daughter is taking up, she took up lacrosse last year, field hockey. Now she's done dance for many years. She may run for class office. My son does football. He did lacrosse, but then kind of lost interest in it. So he shifted over more to spring football. So he's doing that. And he's done basketball. And, you know, they're good kids, you know, overall. We're just trying
Thank
to
God,
teach them
right?
to be to be nice to people.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty open about just the dangers of life out there. And it's tough being a parent. You know, there are kids their ages who have already been drunk, who have, you know, maybe they don't come from the best situations. And so, you know, we're trying to teach them just, you know, how to live a good life and how to just, I mean, the number one thing, be kind to others.
Right.
No matter how old you are and no matter what position you're in, I think that is just, that's words to live by. Politicians, kids, teachers, whatever.
So just like you were in the line at Louis' Lunch.
Yeah.
You know, talk to people. pretend, not pretend, but, you know, show that you care. That's what I'm trying to say. Show that you care. And just, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt, but it's hard sometimes, I got to tell you. So you just got to teach kids, especially at that age, to go through life with their eyes open and their heads up.
Yeah, that's just it. Remember that everybody has some battle.
Yeah, we you all may not have our
know,
demons.
You may not know what it is, but, like, you know, there's a cashier at the grocery store where I go to whose daughter was murdered. There's another one who has an adult son with special needs that she still takes care of. So you just never know. And they still put on the happy smile and they're helping you bag your groceries and how are you today? And you just don't know.
You don't.
And, you know, I had a friend whose son recently came down with cancer. His leg hurt and went in. They thought it was tendonitis. And next week it hurt really bad. They ran more tests and he ended up having cancer. They had to amputate his leg.
Oh, my God.
Age 14. So there's so much out there. And, of course, in the news business, every day we've got sadness.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you've got to just keep that in perspective. And then that's only the stories that you have time to tell.
Yeah.
I imagine all the stories that are still sitting out there, but there's no time.
Sure.
You know? So you just don't. So I got to ask you another question. Do you still have your Woody?
Yes, I do. I do. Well, no. So
that's not a nasty question.
No. So everyone knows I have this passion for station wagons.
I love your station wagons.
So I have a Buick Enclave that's relatively new that I had fake wood put on the side. So that's the car I drive. But we had one. So when I was in high school, my parents had the Ford Country Squire.
Right. And you sat really in the back seat facing out.
Yeah, and then they disappeared. And so I when we needed an extra car for our babysitter, I picked up a Buick Roadmaster wagon, which are great cars, by the way. They're extremely reliable and they're big and they get the rear facing seat.
I bet she loved that.
And it had wood on the side. But and yeah, they made them up till 96. So they're not all that old. They have airbags and, you know, all that power steering, all that. I mean, they were the Buick Roadmaster in the 90s was the Escalade of its day. If you wanted a big, luxurious family cruiser, that's what you got. And you can pick them up fairly inexpensively. So I got one. And one of our babies has had an accident, so I had to replace it.
Aww.
So I got another Buick Roadmaster, but did not have the wood. We still have that one. That's just black.
Okay, and you just love it.
You know,
what kind of comments do you get when you pull up in that baby?
Well, you know, it's got the rear-facing seat. You can see through it, and it's got like, I think the official color is cherry, but it's like a red velour interior, right?
Nice. With the bench seat in the front?
Yeah, bench seat in the front. You know what? Maybe
so is it three on a tree or no?
No. It's
regular,
automatic.
Standard. Okay.
Maybe I'm getting a little bit older, but there's something to be said for bench seats. And I'll tell you why.
I miss them.
I drop my fob down in between the seat on a bucket seat and you're digging it out. It's like those bench seats were practical.
They were. I just remember the bench seats because I'd sit next to my boyfriend with his arm around me when we drove. And those were the good old days, right?
Yeah.
Take him to the drive-in movies, all that kind of stuff.
They should bring those back.
I really wish they would. I mean, all the good things are gone. The Volkswagen Beetle, which I had and got in an accident, unfortunately, it got totaled. My baby's gone too.
Aww.
So it's kind of sad, but you know, I had to grow up, I guess, a little bit. So we've got just a couple minutes left. What else you want to talk about? What else do you want our listeners to know? And
well, I just want people to, you know, I want to thank all the viewers of Connecticut because for 30 years, you know, you don't get to have 30 years in one market without the viewers supporting you.
Right.
So I want to thank all the people all across the state who have reached out to me on social media over the years, who sent baby gifts when we were,
had your kids.
Had our kids.
Yeah, they know you guys.
Condolence letters when we lost a baby. So it's just an amazing thing. And just all the emails we get today and the social media things and just meeting, like, it never bothers me when someone comes up to the grocery store and says, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, you're Dennis House.
You don't mind that?
I do not mind.
Okay, good. You know, usually the only time people recognize me was when I was at Costco and no makeup and looked like crap. And aren't you the girl on TV? No, I'm not. Get away from me. So it's interesting and it's good that you embrace that. And then, you know, and then people make the bad comments. I remember when I was on television.
Sure.
I don't know if I was just had a child or whatever, but I had some like a dark pigment under my nose, like a mustache.
Yeah.
And don't you know, someone called into the newsroom. I answered the phone because that's what you did back then.
Sure.
Tell Ann Baldwin she's got a mustache. I won't tell you what I told the lady.
We get complaints all the time.
Yes.
But you know what? I usually address each and every one of
them.
Do
you?
Yeah, because I just think, listen, if it's a complaint, I want to hear about it. And, you know, there'll be some people who say, hey, I miss you, you know, on TV. And I'm like, well, I'm still on TV. And I'll tell them, you know, where they can find me.
Right.
News 8 every night at 6 and 11 and Sundays at 10. But you know, people will complain about something I wore or something I said. They always think you're either a Republican or a Democrat.
Right, right, because you've got your own
agenda. They think that there's no way this person is just an unbiased journalist. Right. I can say that I am an independent, and I can count some Democrats among my friends and Republicans among my friends, and
Don't judge, folks.
Absolutely.
Don't judge, because Dennis House, WTNH, Channel 8 is doing a great job.
Well
Dennis,
thank you, Ann.
Thank you. And it's so good to see you. My best to Kara and the kids. And enjoy your upcoming summer trips. I know you're going to have a great rest of the summer. And
we're excited.
We'll get you back here again, okay?
I would love to. I just think looking back, 30 years ago, you and I were out in the field covering stories, and now we're here together.
Here we are.
Thank you for having me.
Never burn a bridge and stay friends.
We were always friends.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.